2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 to 17. Follow the leader. Number one, the behavior we are to exhibit. Number two, the battle we are to expect. And number three, the book we are to explore. I am my neighbor's Bible. He reads me when we meet. Today he reads me in my house. Tomorrow in the street. He may be relative or friend or slight acquaintance be. He may not even know my name. But he is reading me. I asked Kat to teach us an old song. We couldn't find it. Men will look at the life I lead, see the side I take and the things I love. They judge my Lord by my every deed. Lord, set my affections on things above. They are watching you, marking all you do, hearing the things you say. Let them see the Savior as he shines in you. Let his power control you every day. I don't know if you ever played the game Follow the Leader. The kids today like the iPads and the smartphones. We used to go in the street, follow the leader, round the lamppost, stand on one leg, put one hand up in the air, two hands up in the air, crouch down, run fast, slow down. Sometimes we play Simon Says. Simon Says do this, Simon Says do that, Simon Says do the other. Do you ever play those games? Paul wants Timothy to follow his leader and mentor. Paul was a model to Timothy. He was a mentor to Timothy. And now he wants Timothy to multiply that model and mentoring in the day and generation which he will now serve. You remember that from last week, the Apostle Paul has warned this young pastor there in Ephesus that there are fierce days ahead. Watch out. Beware. Not only so, there are foul days ahead. Be careful. And there are fakes in the midst. Watch out. How are we to live in days of apostasy? How are we to live in dangerous and dark and hostile days? Paul now addresses Timothy personally, verse 10. He tells us about the behavior we are to exhibit in apostate days. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions endured. Yet from them all, the Lord rescued me. Timothy, this is the behavior you are to exhibit. You are to follow my teaching. Literally, my doctrine. Remember that the Apostle Paul had mentored Timothy and had mentored him well. He'd been with him on apostolic journeys. He'd spent time teaching him about theology, the knowledge of God. Teaching him about anthropology. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. About soteriology, that is the doctrine of salvation, that is that Jesus Christ has come into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. Remember, he has said a righteousness apart from the law has been revealed. A Savior has come, whose atoning sacrifice pays the debt of all our sin. He was delivered for our offenses, raised for our justification. Not only so, he has taught him about pneumatology, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Unless you are born again of the Spirit of God, you do not belong to him. We are to live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit and keep in step with the Spirit and bear the fruit of the Spirit. Not only so, we are to be filled with the Holy Ghost, enlightened and empowered and equipped by the Holy Spirit. He's taught him in the book of Ephesians about ecclesiology, the doctrine of the church, that the middle wall of partition has been smashed to smithereens. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, bond nor free, male or female. We're all one in Christ Jesus. This great doctrine of our oneness, our union with Christ in his body. And he has taught him about eschatology. Because one day every eye shall see him, every knee shall bow to him, every tongue confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus Christ will return to this planet. The curtains of heaven will open. The descending army of King Jesus will appear. And every man and woman, boy and girl, shall see him. The grave shall be opened. We shall be caught up to meet him in the air. And we shall be forever with the Lord. He's taught him about the last day and the judgment day and heaven and hell. I want you to remember that. But follow my conduct, literally my lifestyle. Timothy, you have exhibited my lifestyle. You know the long hours, the late nights, the early mornings. You know the wrestling I've had. You know I've beaten my body and been disciplined, wanting to run this race, wanting to fight this fight, wanting to finish this course. You know my lifestyle. Not only so, you know my aim, literally my purpose. You know I've been focused in life, single in aim, eyes riveted not upon the temporal, but upon the eternal, loosening my grip upon this temporal world, strengthening my grip upon the eternal world. That has been my single focus and aim since the day I met Jesus on that road to Damascus. Not only so, you know my faith. I've exhorted the Corinthians to walk by faith and not by sight. I reminded everyone in my letter to the Romans what the book of Habakkuk teaches us. The just shall live by faith. I reminded everyone, if he wrote the book of Hebrews, that without faith it is impossible to please God. I wrote to the Corinthians to walk by faith and not by sight. I've been a man of faith, seeing the invisible, hearing the inaudible, believing for the impossible in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only so, you've experienced and witnessed my patience, literally my long fusedness. Anybody who reads the Bible more than an inch, with a little bit of insight, with a little bit of depth, we'll know that this man, the Apostle Paul, was a fighter. He had some harsh things to say. I have to confess to you, there have been times in my Christian experience when I wanted to take people and plant them. Thankfully, that has not happened, nor will it happen. Because it's more important what is right than what I feel. And the Apostle Paul was patient, had long fuseness. Not only so, you have experienced and witnessed my behavior shown in love. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become as a sounding brass or a timbering cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge, yet have not love, it profits me nothing. If I had faith to remove mountains, if I give my body to be burned, it means nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love envies not, vaunts not itself, is not puffed up. Remember what the apostle wrote? Love bears all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And you have seen my behavior. You've seen my love in action. I've not just been a preacher and a writer of these truths. I have fleshed them out and lived them before you. And you've seen my steadfastness, later on called his endurance. You've seen my stickability. I've kept at it. I've endured. I've continued to press on when very often you want to give up. When you want to go on, when very often you want to go out. Onward, upward, forward, higher. Remember what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians? Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, inasmuch as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Paul says, my greatest ability has been stickability. Not only so, but you've witnessed my persecutions and the sufferings that happened to me. Now he refers back to his first missionary journey. It was on the first missionary journey, those of you who know your New Testament in Acts chapter 14, that he was persecuted at Lystra. He met Timothy during this period of time. It says here, in my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. You remember what happened? Paul and his missionary band, they arrive there, Iconium. Remember, they want to make him or treat him like Zeus, but he refuses. Remember how he gets to Lystra. Remember how they want to stone him. Remember how they pick up stones and say, this man, we've got to get rid of him. And they stone the apostle, so much so that he's left as dead. And if it wasn't for the divine intervention of God's healing touch on his life, raising him up, he would have died. You witnessed the persecution, the opposition, the hostility, the difficulties I faced bringing the gospel. And not only so, you witness my experience because I've told you my testimony time after time after time. Though others desert me, the Lord stood by me. The Lord rescued me. He didn't rescue me from trouble. He didn't rescue me from persecution. He didn't rescue me from hostility. He rescued me in hostility, in difficulty. He stood by me. He rescued me. Number one, this is the behavior you are to exhibit. Follow my teaching, conduct, aim, faith, patience, love, steadfastness, persecution, and testimony. Number two, here's the battle we are to expect. Listen. Indeed, verse 12, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. While evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You see, the Apostle Paul wasn't one of these fellows, you know, who just liked to preach doom and gloom. No, he knew what our Lord Jesus Christ taught. Remember what he taught in the beautiful attitudes known as the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Our Lord made it plain, no disciple, no follower of his is going to be greater than his Lord. He was the man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. He was the one who was despised and rejected of men. He was the one who was taken and abused and crucified. If they persecuted the Lord of glory, they will certainly persecute those who follow him. Here's the battle we are to expect. Anyone who wants to be Christ-like, anyone who wants to join in step, in the march against the world, the flesh, and the devil, and behind the King of Kings, anyone who will be distinctive, anyone who will say no to sin and yes to God, anyone who actually believes that righteousness exalts a nation and sin is a reproach to any people, will suffer persecution. Godliness is not popular. Incidentally, it makes a big difference to what you see around. I mean, we're told evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. How true is that? We think the world is improving. No, it isn't. Our Lord Jesus Christ taught us in the book of Matthew concerning his coming, just before his coming, the hearts of many will grow cold. Why? Because of hostility and difficulty and persecution and opposition, and evil people are going to get worse. Imposters will go from bad to worse. Deceit and being deceived is going to be the hallmark of last day characteristics. And literally the words of the prophet in the book of Jeremiah, the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, will become more and more manifest. Not only in the world, incidentally, but in the church. Timothy, this is the behavior you are to exhibit, and this is the battle you are to expect. A bit different. In the book by John Piper, brothers, we are not professionals. We're not professionals. Pastors are not called to be CEOs. You don't pastor a church by email or by coffee in Costco. You don't preach sermons from the internet. You get them from the Holy Spirit through the revealed Word of God. True? And we live godly lives, holy lives, expecting difficulty, trouble, wet eyes, bent knees, broken heart, scars, and Jesus. Yes, Jesus is the joy of living. He's the King of life to me. Unto him my all I'm giving, his forevermore to be. But having Jesus as the joy of living does not stop you running against the tide, swimming against the tide, running against the crowd, and knowing the opposition and battle we are to expect. Number three, we have the book we are to explore. But as for you, continue. Wow, that's a good word. You could have a whole sermon on continue. In a day where people want to give up and go out, he says, continue in what you've learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you've learned it. We, of course, know from 2 Timothy 1, verse 5, where Timothy learned the Old Testament. Is there a grandma here? Lois, remember her grandma? Grandma Lois taught Timothy the Old Testament. Is there a mother here? Eunice, remember Eunice, the mum? How they taught Timothy the Old Testament. Do you remember that he came from a mixed marriage? Do you remember that Timothy's dad was a Greek? I wonder if his dad said, listen, son, sit down here. I want to tell you all about Hercules, how big and how strong he was. Or I want to tell you about Achilles, how his heel was pierced. Or I want to tell you all about the wooden horse of Troy, or all the great myths or legends or stories from Greece. But here is Eunice, and here is Lois. Son, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, listen to these exciting stories. Learn these amazing lessons. Well, only so. Listen about Moses and Aaron and Joshua and Caleb. And listen, why don't you, about Gideon and Samson. And why don't you listen, son, while I tell you about David and Goliath? Why don't I tell you about Solomon and the Grand Temple? Why don't you learn the poetry, the Psalms, the Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon? Why don't you hear the story of Job, the most upright man that ever lived? Why don't you hear about Elijah and Elisha, and the minor prophets and the major prophets. Listen as I tell you these things. You learned the Holy Scriptures. These were sacred. Be shed. Atonement must be made. So that when Jesus comes to Bethphara, and behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, it all fits into place. Not only so, Timothy, this made you wise for salvation. Your soul needed saving. Just being brought up by a godly grandma and a godly mother, just knowing the Old Testament or knowing the New Testament is not enough. You need to know salvation. You need to have your soul saved, your eyes opened, your ears unstopped, your heart quickened, brought from darkness to life, from death to life, from the kingdom of Satan unto God. That's what salvation is. It's not being a goody two-shoes. It's not pulling up your socks. It's not taking your kids to church so they can get in a church school. No, it's not trying your best, not doing your bit. It's about salvation. Your soul, not the person next to you, not your husband or your wife or your son or your daughter or your brother or your sister. Your soul being saved. And how is it saved? By works? No, it's through faith in Christ Jesus, the Christ, the sent one, the Messiah, the expected one, Jesus, the Savior of sinners. Explore this book. It's sacred. It's God-breathed. It's soul-saving and it's life-changing. It's profitable. It's profitable for teaching. Yes, you can learn the books of the law and the teaching that's contained in it. The history and the teaching that's contained in it. The poetry and the teaching that's contained in it. The prophecy and the minor and major prophets. As it looks down the corridor of time to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's for reproof, literally, when we're on the wrong, putting us right. Put up your hand if you're ever in the wrong and need putting right. Okay, I'm not the only one here. Good. It's reproof. It reproves us. It puts us right. Not only so, it corrects us. You know, my grandkids love the story of Thomas the Tank Engine. They're two, they're four, they're six, they're... Okay, you know it. Good. But you know what would happen if Thomas the Tank Engine came off the rails? What would happen if he went along the field, or he went along the road, or he went up the hill? It wouldn't work. Why? Because a steam engine needs to run upon the rails. It needs to be on the correct way, the correct path. So this Word of God teaches us, reproves us, puts us back on the rails, and trains us in righteousness, disciplines us to think right, to speak right, to live right, to have a heart that's right, to have an attitude that's right. And not only so, it equips us for every good work. Isn't that wonderful? Listen, the good works which we are to exhibit, and we are, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. The Apostle Paul telling us that we were chosen in Christ for good works. The good works is not collecting your Green Shield stamps. It's not collecting your punch from Tesco or Asda to pull out your lapel and say, look how good I am. No, it's the work of the Holy Spirit wanting to exhibit a life that is like Jesus. Do you know what it was said of Jesus? He went around doing good. Someone said, it's a pity most of us just want to go around. He went around doing good, lifting up the downcast, getting close, healing the leper, those who have no one would deal with them, the backslider, the unclean, the unfit, the undone, seeking to bring light and truth and goodness and grace. Well, this Word of God, attended by the Holy Spirit, will be profitable to equip you for every good work. In fact, it says it, you might become complete. The word for complete is the word mature. I never forget the first time I went to Loch Ness. Have you ever been to Loch Ness? Okay. I didn't see a monster. I'll tell you what I did see. Round every corner, these amazing vista of fir trees. Have you ever seen them? And they're called evergreens. The wind howls, the snow falls, the ice comes, the rain comes, the sun scorches, and somehow or other, they're evergreen. So, knowing God's word and exploring God's book and examining it against your own life and seeking to conform your life to this holy book, becoming bibline, will help you be mature. Told you before about the gravestone of the man who said, on which it was written, he was a man of the book. He learned it. He loved it. He lived it. May his tribe increase. The behavior we are to exhibit, the battle we are to expect, the book we are to explore, despite the cynic's angry word, the skeptic's narrow look, the running ages have not matched this holy, mighty book. And God willing, next week, we'll find out more about this holy, mighty book. Let's stand and sing. I love this hymn. May the mind of Christ, my Savior, live in me from day to day, by his love and power controlling all I do and say. It's a beautiful hymn. You could say it as a prayer every morning for the rest of your life. Let's stand and sing. Thank you. Unto my feet and a light unto my path. Let's sing it together. Thank you for your word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Grant, O Lord, that we might be Bible taught and spirit filled and Christ-like Christian men and women here. Dismiss us now with grace, mercy, and peace. Let's say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.